Good morning. Happy New Year to you. Welcome to Bowmansville Church. We'd like to welcome you all here today, especially our visitors and those who are watching us on live stream today. I do want to start off by having a prayer request, and that's here, and opening with prayer that Mary Alice Culp has given us, that Dave was admitted to the hospital on Friday with fluid on his lungs. They did a catheterization yesterday. It came back clear, so she's not sure if they will do any more tests or if he will be discharged. Let's lift him up and our service in prayer. Father God, we thank you and praise you that we can start a new year here in your house. We thank you so much for all the goodness that you have brought us, but we know that in our lives that we have times of struggle, times of heartache, times of pain, trials and temptations of many kinds. And we just lift up Dave today, and we just ask for your healing touch and whatever guidance doctors and others need to help him, but ultimately we know the healing comes from you. We thank you and praise you for this day. We lift up this time in worship to you, and we ask this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Well, welcome to Bowmansville and Happy New Year. On the way out the driveway to come this morning, the sun was at the angle that was just very intently shining in our faces and just made me think about when Moses was up on the mountain and came down, how his face was so radiant that the people said they should cover it because they couldn't look at it. It's hard to imagine what that would actually be like. But welcome and worship with us today.
When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him." Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Go down, because your people, whom you brought out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' I have seen these people and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them, and then I will make you into a great nation."
But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God, saying,
"Lord, turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people."
Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened.
So Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the covenant law in his hands. When he approached the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, his anger burned, and he threw the tablets out of his hands, breaking them to pieces at the foot of the mountain. And he took the calf the people had made and burned it in the fire. Then he ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. The next day, Moses said to the people,
"You have committed a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin."
So Moses went back to the Lord and said,
"Oh, what a great sin these people have committed. They've made themselves gods of gold. But now please forgive their sin. But if not, then blot me out of the book you have written."
The Lord replied to Moses,
"Whoever sinned against me, I will blot out of my book. Now go, lead the people to the place I spoke of, and my angel will go before you. However, when the time comes for me to punish, I will punish them for their sin."
And the Lord struck the people with a plague because of what they did with the calf Aaron had made.
Then the Lord said to Moses,
"Leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, but I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way."
When the people heard these distressing words, they began to mourn, and no one put on any ornaments. Moses said to the Lord,
you've been telling me, lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You've said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people.
The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest.
This account shows us the sin of God's people and the anger that burned against them, God's anger that burned against them. It shows us intercession and God's mercy, and again, a second intercession, and finally, that God's presence was granted to them. What does this have to do with us? We are sinful people gathered in the presence of a holy God. It's only through Jesus, through his blood, his mercy, and his intercession that we can stand in the presence of God. Join us in worship. You may stand to sing.
Before the throne of God above, I have a strong thank you.
offering this morning is for TNT Youth Ministries, and also the My Coins Count is up here for the children. So just invite the ushers to come forward as we sing the next song.
Praise the Lord.
You to join us for a word of thanks and blessing in the offering. Lord God, we come before you and we recognize that this is the first day of the week and the first day of a new year, and we bring these gifts to you as a sort of first fruits of the year ahead, and we just ask that you would use and multiply them to spread the good news and the message that we are singing about and that we are grateful for. We pray for your blessing upon TNT and each and every staff person. We ask that you would grant favor among them and among the schools and the community in which they operate. Lord, we pray for protection, for integrity, and we ask that truth would be spoken and lived out in grace and love in each of our lives as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
This week I had the opportunity to read part of a book called Trust by Dan Busby, and it was in the context of Christian ministry. The subtitle was The Firm Foundation for Kingdom Fruitfulness. He talked about truth and honesty, integrity, consistency and obedience to God, and being genuine and transparent. And he gave a word picture of a stage, And he said all this happens by Jesus being on center stage, not in the wings, and not off of the stage completely. This is true in our individual lives and our families as well. I think this is another way of saying that we honor and exalt God's presence and acknowledge that and keep that in the forefront of our mind in all of the aspects of our life, even the practical things like board meetings and fundraising and managing our resources and getting the groceries and taking care of our children. So this last song is called All Glory Be to Christ.
Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive.
Anticipations and excitement about the new year. And we just ask to blend into that your presence that we would feel, see, experience, and tell about in the coming year and all those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Would like to first off say thank you on behalf of Sheila and myself for all the cards and encouragement that you've given us, and thank you so much for that. And I ask that you continue to lift up the pastor team as we seek to guide through this new year. We ask for your continued prayers and support. We thank you for that. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this time when we can hear your word and hear what you have to say to us. Please let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, and that our time here in your word is a blessing and encouragement to all. We lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's sermon title, He Comes to Us in All Our Distress, might seem an interesting New Year's topic, but I think considering what our worship team had shared this morning, we are going to find out a little bit more about how God and Jesus, his son, are through us and all, is with us in all our distress. Currently, we live in the in-between. We live in the in-between. Christ has brought restoration, and the world still cries out to be restored. These two truths do not cancel each other out, but coexist. So let's think about the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And it was all good. And God made a blessing. He created everything. He created all the trees, all the plants, all the animals. And then eventually, mankind. Spark of life in, and man became on this earth. But we also know what happened. What kind of things happened? Well, first off, God communed with Adam and Eve. He walked with them. He talked with them. They had sweet fellowship together. But then sin entered the world, and God had to send them away. So through this time, we are now have a world of distress. Had there been no sin, we would never have any sorrow or suffering or grief. So through the centuries, God had called his people. Obviously, we know the stories of Moses and Abraham and all these. Eventually, he led them out of the desert and eventually into the promised land. So we know that God cares for us. He provides a way. Let's turn to our first passage in Isaiah, chapter 63, verses 7 through 9. I will tell of the kindness of the Lord. Excuse me. The deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel, according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. So we see here in this passage that God knew about our distresses. He cared for us. He wanted us to be saved. He became our Savior. We think of the word distress. And what kind of things do we think about? Well, there are going to be dark days in our life. Sometimes they come because of sin. Perhaps it may be the illness or a death of a close friend or loved one. Perhaps through no fault or circumstance of our own, situations come up that are going to be a trial, a temptation, a hardship in our lives. But we also know that through the passage in Isaiah, that we know that he is there for us. We don't have to worry about that. But it is tough because, as you can see from this picture, when things are not going well and things are dark, it is tough to see the light. It is tough to know that God is there for us. So we always need to remember in all times, God is so good. Doesn't mean that every situation is good. Can never be that way because of sin in this world. So as in our opening where it says that, you know, Christ came to restore, but yet the world still is crying out to be restored. Because not everyone knows that God is good. Not everyone knows Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So I mentioned about that God is good. And when we think about God being good, when we're pleased with something or we're happy about something, it's easy to praise him. In Psalm 148, we see here, follow along with me, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He set them in place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. Here in the first half of Psalm 148, we see the heavens praising and rejoicing and worshiping God. It is easy, I would think, easy to praise God when you see him, you have no more suffering and sorrow, your worries are gone, we don't have to worry about meals, money, anything. It's all taken care of. That seems really easy to be able to praise him. But the second half of Psalm 148 gets down here for those on the earth. Verse 7 and following. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, you fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his saints of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. So now we've seen that picture or that understanding that in heaven we're praising him continuously. But here on earth, we are called to praise him, to thank him, to love him, to worship him. He is due that. He has guided us as we've seen. He guided his people through the desert. He guided his people through all the problems that have come along. We know from our own circumstances how he has guided us. Because again, there are times of darkness. There are times of doubt. There are times of sorrow. In preparation for today's sermon, it caused me to think about circumstances in my life. Things that have been good, things that have been not so good, if you want to call it that. Obviously, being born in a in a two-parent home and having the blessing and love of people who cared for me and guided and nurtured me was a wonderful thing. But then, unfortunately, tragedy came to our house. When I was seven, I had a 16-year-old brother who was killed in a car accident. Totally changed our family forever. Dynamic was different. A sorrow that came, a person that can never be replaced. God, why? We think about those things, yet we're still called to praise him. When I was 15, I lost my father to a sudden heart attack. No warning, nothing, gone. Again, our world changed again, negatively. And obviously, when things happen like this, we wonder why. It's easy to ask questions. And I know some people say, oh, we can't question God. Oh, yes, we can. God wants us to ask because God wants a conversation with us every day, a continuous conversation, both of love and gratitude, along with sharing our sorrows and griefs and struggles, because he knows us, he loves us, and he cares for us. And God loved me enough that he decided that he's going to allow me to understand his word clearly and to call me to his side so that when I was 19, I was able to understand what God was calling me to, and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. So through heartache, through sorrows, through things that devastate other people, I knew there was something else. I knew that God was out there. How can we know that God understands our pain? And secondly, and does he really care? The wonderful thing is we know that he does. Because from our next passage in Hebrews chapter 2, we know because Jesus Christ became fully man. So in Hebrews 2, verse 10 and following. In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are being made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. Hallelujah. He says, I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, he says, here am I and the children God has given me. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. In this world, there are many religions, teachings of other gods, other deities, other worldviews, other systems of worship. But in no other religion besides Christianity, which one we know is truth, but certainly we have a God who loved us enough that he came down here, became a human being, shared in our suffering, shared in all those. And ultimately, why did Jesus come? Don't know if you could see that bottom line, but it says, for the sake of our salvation. Think about it. Day after day, week after week, year after year, sin offerings being offered to atone, to cover the sins of the people. But remember, when Jesus came, everything was completely different. The sacrifices were not removed. The sacrifice was made complete. The plan was made perfect. Adoption made final. The Messiah became a man to deliver us from the master of death. He can relate. Jesus can relate because he himself partook of the things we did. He has and will destroy death. He'll destroy Satan. He delivers us from the fear of death. He's dedicated to helping us, his children. And as the high priest, not only offering sacrifices, he offered the sacrifice, himself. There's no greater love than one lay down his life for his friends. And yet Jesus laid his life down even when we weren't his friends. He loved us all and has provided a way for us. He offered himself the sacrifice on our behalf, and he suffered to be a servant. Think about these things. Because Jesus died in my place for my sins, and he died in your place for your sins, this is what we can know. We're not guilty. We're not cursed. We are not defeated. We're not crushed. We are not forsaken. We are not unclean, and we are certainly not without hope. And if this does not excite you, then I guess heaven's not for you, because heaven's the place where we get to celebrate every single day. I have no idea what kind of concept of time will be there, but we may have just enough knowledge of the fact that our sin was taken away that we will be eternally grateful, and we will be there singing and praising him forever. That's the joy. That's why Jesus came. So our last passage is in Matthew chapter 2. Let's give a summary of the life of Jesus through this. As you can see, obviously, to become fully human, he was born of a woman, to become fully human. Matthew 2, verses 13 and following. This is after the Magi had come and left. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. "Get up," he said, "take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. "A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more." After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were trying to take the child's life are dead." So he got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, he will be called a Nazarene. Now in our lives, when we have struggles and things around us either seem to be crumbling or getting difficult beyond our ability to take care of them, God steps in. Jesus was born, and yet someone was out to kill him because he was a threat to the kingdom of Herod. So an angel provided a way and guided them out. How many times has God led us in a way that has protected us that we might not know? We might never see the hands of the angels that are there to guide us. Maybe stop the reckless car from going through an intersection and hitting us. Perhaps keeps us from falling when we slip on ice. All these little things and more God does on our behalf that maybe we see or understand, maybe we don't. But we see that in Jesus' early life, God had provided and guided and protected Jesus. So from that day when he was born, surrounded by love and care, there were things that came into Jesus' life. People that wanted to kill him, people that harassed him, called him all kinds of things. Yet he took the time. Why did he come? We may understand ultimately, but certainly he came to live a life of perfection. He came to teach. He came to preach. He came to heal. He came to love us. He came to experience everything that we experience so that he can comfort us. And he knows our griefs, our sorrows, our joys. But ultimately, we know why he came. We know it was to take upon himself our sins, all of our sorrows and pain, and to put them on the cross and ultimately to bury them so that we don't have to live with them anymore. It doesn't make us perfect, but it does mean if we have accepted his gift of salvation, that we do not have to pay those sins ourselves. We get to go to heaven without our sin. We get to be covered by the robe of righteousness, the blood of Jesus that was the atonement for our sin. The wonderful thing is not only did he bury those sins, but ultimately he himself came back to life. We do not serve a dead God. Again, other religions have leaders that have come and gone. They are no more. But Jesus truly died for our behalf. No other reason. No sin of his put him there. It was our sin. So the question that I asked before is, how does he, know us, love us? Why does he care? Well, he's been through it. And he willingly took our penalty and the penalty of every single person that ever lived and buried them with him. One day we will see him reign and rule. Again, that doesn't mean that in this earthly life that things are going to be perfect. I can promise you they will not be. Okay? But what I can do is promise you this, as we make our conclusion from all these passages. We can have confidence in the knowledge that Jesus knows and cares about our sorrows and griefs, and he will comfort us and guide us. and hold us in his ever-loving, nail-scarred hands. Amen.
I invite you to turn to in your church and Sunday school hymnal to number 464. Maybe you have things in your life that you're not sure if Jesus cares about. This song is to affirm that he does.
Does Jesus care when my heart is thin?
Just a few brief announcements, and obviously please take time to look at the announcements in our bulletin, as well as highlighting that the men's retreat is coming up at the end of this month. Sign-up sheets are both in the upstairs and downstairs foyers, so men post-high school and older, please sign up. Be a good time. A reminder that, yes, it is the year 2023. So I encourage you to remember to make sure that you put 2023 on your offering checks and all your other checks. You don't want them to be a year old. Banks don't like that. But I also want to ask Debbie to come up to talk about our church directory.
Good morning. I'm going to give you a few details about how to sign up for a time slot for the church directory photos. We're going to use a company called Universal Church Directories to take the photos here at church, and they will be here on February 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, and March 24th and 25th. And everyone who's photographed will receive a complimentary 8x10 photo and a directory. So there's several options to sign up. One of them is the online option, and there's directions in your bulletin about how to do that, as well as in a flyer that was in your mailbox today. And some of you have already signed up that way already, so thank you. The other option is to sign up here at church, and there's a table in the overflow today where you can look at what's available and put your name down. While we have that table set up, the online sign-up is turned off so that people aren't signing up for the same time slots, but I would say by 1 o'clock today, we'll have everything up to date and turn that back on so you can sign up anytime this week online. And I know February and March seem a little bit far away, but the company is asking that we try to have the majority of the people signed up by next Sunday, January 8th, because they look at how many people are signed up so they know how many photographers to send out each day. So if possible, sign up today or next Sunday or online this week. And if you're not able to do either of those options, you can call me as well and I'll help you. And one last item is that I'm looking for several persons to help be greeters on the days when photos are being taken, just to help people know where to go and also to verify information such as addresses and phone numbers and email addresses, so that's all up to date. So if anyone's interested in helping with that, let me know. Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. This time, could you please rise for our benediction? In light of the worship and sermon today, I have chosen and I encourage you to memorize 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Blessings, go in peace.